Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So the military being confronted with something where they have to change their tune about UFOs. Because, as you say, pilots can't be religious zealots. Or maybe they are in their private lives.
They could be, but they shouldn't be prone to hallucinations. That's not good. And they shouldn't be hoaxes either. So the military, just being what it is, they didn't anticipate that this wouldn't happen. You know, the Korean War took everyone by surprise, more or less. So they had to react to it. So they started Project Blue Book. And, you know, and I remember Rupert himself said in an interview, you know, he says, I think people thought at the time that we were, you know, we were like NASA, like we had this big building. And there were a lot of people walking around in long lab coats and stuff. He says, it was me. And in like three or four typists, that was it. And basically what they did is they solved the UFO reports that they knew they could solve. You know, someone would say, well, you know, I live in Georgia and I saw this light and it was on November 6th at 3 a.m. in the morning. And they'd go back and they'd find out it was Venus. And they'd write the guy back and they'd publicize, well, this is Venus. But it was the ones that they couldn't solve that they just kept their mouths shut about. So once again, that just kind of proves a point that, in my opinion, is that the military doesn't know what they are. Well, maybe this is them calling me right now. you know, they don't know what they are, and they're just scrambling for explanations on how you can say we don't know what they are without getting in trouble or losing any of their defense budget.
Well, that's why they took on the whole acronym UFO, Unidentified Flying Object, because they wanted to distance themselves from the perception of the public that they were investigating flying saucers, as our good friend Stanton Friedman used to say. You know, we're not looking for things that aren't alien craft. We're looking for ones that are. We don't care about all the stuff that's not identified. We only care about the ones that we know are something else.
Right, right. And a lot of confusion, too, is in the 50s and the 60s. And we have this woman who comes on our show every once in a while, Cindy Bailey Dove. She comes on once a month, and she's like this expert in drones. She's just been interested in drones all her life. And, you know, she's been on our show, and she's, you know, told us historically that, you know, there were drones in the 50s, there were drones in the 60s, 70s. Drones have been around, military drones have been around since the 50s. So a lot of UFO sightings had to be military drones, you know. But once again, we also know that, you know, getting back to the Robinson panel, I think they called it, was we know the CIA was involved in that. And what they were more interested in more than anything else, maybe, was that anytime there was like a big UFO flap, what people would do is they would barrage the White House and the Pentagon with phone calls. And they would literally tie up the telephone operators. If you can imagine back then, they were still plugging them into big boards, right? And so the CIA, the way they looked at the whole UFO crazy, once again, this is kind of in the data out there, is that they said, we can't do this because what will happen is the Russians or the Red Chinese will just kind of fake some kind of a UFO thing. They'll jam the phone lines of the White House and the Pentagon and attack us and, you know, we'll be covered our pants down, let's say, right? So they said, so the way to do this is that you discredit people from making UFO reports in the first place. And so the fear of being ridiculed stopped many people from calling the Pentagon, from calling the White House. That's the CIA's approach to it. So that's how this whole kind of ridicule thing happened. You take with that, you know, the fact that there were drones flying around all the time and the military didn't want to talk about them, and then add to the fact that, you know, we had secret aircraft flying around out there, 50s, 60s, 70s, which they intentionally would fly like at 15,000 feet and check the news reports the next day of any UFO reports. If there were a lot of them, they'd fly it at 20,000 feet. If there were less of them, they'd fly it at 30,000 feet or something. And when they weren't getting UFO reports, they knew that that was the altitude the secret plane should fly at, and people wouldn't see it on the ground. I mean, it's just the military way of doing things, you know.
But then again, that doesn't really explain all of the sightings. Like, what we're talking about there, like, that's all totally true. We had that whole Cold War paranoia that was going on back then. But then comes along the 52 DC sightings, mm-hmm. where, like, as you say, we have pretty good radar by then. And people who are trained to filter out whatever the anomalies are, you have two separate ground stations, a civilian and military, plus you have radars in the aircraft themselves that, and then you have an aircraft go up that they vector right to one of these objects. Mm-hmm. That aircraft picks it up on their radar. And then he reports that he's suddenly surrounded by these glowing orbs of light that then suddenly just take off in a shot away from his aircraft at some phenomenal speed that no technology of the day could possibly keep up with. So we're not talking about drones anymore when we happens.
No. A lot of misidentified UFO flying saucers during the 50s, from the 50s on, were definitely drones. And the military, you know, once again, then, you know, these things are top secret. They're not going to, you know, say, well, you know, it was actually a drone flying over. They would either dismiss it or say it was Venus or something like that, you know. So you have to kind of filter all that stuff down. You have to filter all the people who see seagulls, who see Venus, who see, you know, balloons and stuff like that. Get rid of all that noise. And you're left with really about 10% of sightings historically that I just cannot be explained, you know, and maybe the Pentagon is, you know, working on it night and day. They probably contracted it out to, you know, some kind of, you know, a private source or whatever. Maybe they're doing that. But no matter how long we talk or discuss it, there are about 10% sightings that cannot be explained. To me, that means something is going on. And it also means that the military doesn't know what it is or anybody does.
Well, again, going back to the budget, if we have $900 billion being spent and we have things flying around that we do not understand or can figure out, well, where's that money going? But I wanted to throw something else back at you. You're familiar with the name James Carrion?
No.
Okay, he used to be a director of MUFON, and he wrote a book called The Rosetta Deception, suggesting ghost rockets at the end of World War II were mm-hmm. things we created, in other words, fakes, to spook the Russians. And that possibly even Roswell may have been an effort to spook the Russians and make them think we had technology so far advanced that in the early days of the Cold War, it would just make them more cautious about trying to mm-hmm. threaten us.
Right. Do you want to know what I think of that?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. See, I always go back to things like in the ghost rockets. You know, there's a big chapter in UFOs and Wartime about the ghost rockets. Basically, lots of people saw stuff flying over Sweden and Scandinavia in 1946 after the war was over, and didn't know what they were, and got to the point where Sweden, which is always kind of historically a neutral country, actually secretly went to Great Britain and said, "Can you give us some radar? Because we got to figure out what these things are." And the British gave them radar, and that was one of the first times that, as we were talking about before, where, you know, unidentified flying objects were picked up on radar, and also, let's say, visually, and to kind of, you know, coincide with each other. And there's a lot of theories of what they might have been. A lot of people thought, you know, at the time, thought that they might have been German buzz bombs, you know, left over from World War II, launched from a place called Peenemünde, which is in the Baltic part of Germany, that the Russians had taken over. Maybe the Russians are doing this, but it turns out that Peenemünde had been bombed into dust, and anything that was left, the Russians actually took back to Russia. So it wasn't that. And no one knows really what it was. The Swedish government, actually the first government, came out in a report, said, you know, these things, you know, are probably from outer space or something. It was something like that. But the thing is this. Let's say that this theory that he's talking about is true, and that somehow after World War II, you know, we being the U.S. military, gin up this secret program to launch, I don't know, rockets over Sweden to scare the Russians. But where were they being launched from? Who was manufacturing? Where did they get the fuel? Where did they land? Where would the thousands of people that would have to be involved in this kind of a project, they all kept their mouths shut? No one wrote a letter. No one told someone on their deathbed that this was happening. I just don't buy it. I mean, we were scaring the Russians, believe me. We had the atomic bomb We were scaring the Russians plenty in 1946 until they get their own, you know, later on in the decade.
Let's continue with Mac Maloney and Gene and Randall. You're in the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, so obviously you don't believe this was a put-up job. What was Roswell? What do you think Roswell was, Mac?
I don't think Roswell was anything other than, I hate to say it, but what the military said it was. It was a crash balloon from a very secret project that was going on in that area at that time. Basically, they were launching these very high altitude balloons to float over the Soviet Union with acoustical devices to see if they could pick up the sound signatures of an atomic bomb being tested. I mean, that's what it was. And the debris field that everyone, you know, makes a big deal about, or the debris itself, a lot of UFO writers conveniently leave out that there was rope, you know, found in the debris field. And I just don't understand why a UFO would have rope on board, to tell you the truth. And I think that the military, in its, you know, kind of dumb way, once again, you know, this is 2 weeks after Kenneth Arnold started the flying saucer craze. I think in their dumb way, they said, well, listen, we'll say we have a flying saucer instead of, you know, revealing that we're doing this very secret, you know, kind of balloon thing over Russia, who at the time was our ally. So I could see why you would want to kind of keep that secret. And just the circus that, you know, has popped up about it. Now, listen, I read a lot of UFO books as a kid. Roswell was not mentioned in any of them. It was only when the National Enquirer kind of got involved, the late 70s, early 80s, and kind of put Roswell on the map. And it's turned into this kind of carnival that it's become. And I say that only because Jesse Marcel Jr., who was like a kid at the time, his father was the guy who gathered the debris and brought it home, and he saw the metal unbend itself and all that stuff. We had him on our show about 6 months before he died, and he was like the greatest guy. I can't stop talking about how great a guy he was. You know, he was just a nice guy. At 74 years old, he gets called back into the service to go to Iraq because he's a dentist, and he went. I mean, who does that, you know? And he was living in Idaho at the time. He says, I can't take it anymore. I couldn't stand living in there anymore because it turned into such a carnival, you know? So I don't think anything happened at Roswell at all. I think it's all made up. It's all made up.
Something happened there, and to be fair, on the balloon theory, I decided to go and check into it when that whole Project Mogul thing came out, and I'm a critical thinker, so I can think outside the box a little bit, and you don't have to necessarily look at the UFO literature to find out what's going on. If it's a balloon, and it's like they say it is, it's going to be carried by the wind. Those things were not under any form of propulsion of their own.
Right.
So I went and I checked the weather records for all altitudes from where they launched the Mogul balloons, and none went in the direction of Roswell where that thing crashed. So explain that then.
Well, that night, there was everyone agrees that there was like a huge thunderstorm, whatever. You know, I don't know. All I know is that this, I don't know about the weather patterns or whatever, but I know that this was a program that was going on for a long time. They were launching these balloons somewhere in New Mexico, and somehow they figured that, you know, that they'd eventually not fly over the Soviet Union, but float very close to them enough for these acoustical devices to pick up, you know, what might be an atomic bomb going off. And, you know, once again, Russia were technically our allies at the time. You know, they really don't want anyone to know what you're doing. So just in the way that the military works, and this is another interesting thing that I find about Roswell and how people look at it. You know, everyone wants to say that the military is like this kind of bumbling, huge, you know, giant that, you know, can't get out of its own way, but is very powerful. So no one wants to, you know, really give it any trouble. Okay. Until it gets into these type of things. And then they're like, you know, they're like the Mission Impossible team, you know, everything goes right. You know, I mean, take your pick.
Yeah. You make a really good point. The skeptics are famous for that, too. It's like, well, you know, it couldn't have been the ancient aliens because, you know, the ancient people were so brilliant in their techniques of building the pyramids. They had the technology to do it. And we underestimate the power of human ingenuity. But if it happens to come to something else like UFOs in the 20th century or 21st century, it's like, oh, no, we're such bumbling idiots that we can't tell, something alien from an airplane or a balloon.
Right. So you have to take it, you know, fish or cut bait. You have to, you know, is the U.S. military, the intelligence services, everything, the Pentagon, are they bumbling idiots? or are they the smartest people? They're so smart that they're convincing us they're bumbling idiots. Okay. And one last thing, you know, real quick, not to talk politics, but let's face it. The person who now inhabits 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, if any way that the president knows whether UFOs exist or not, there's no way that he would keep it a secret. He would have said that in his inaugural address, okay, which, once again, to me, tells me we don't know.
On the other hand, there's that theory, Mac, that because the president is a temporary occupant.
They don't brief him.
They don't brief him on these things because they know the politics could drive the unexpected or unplanned revelation of things they don't want him to know. Just like a certain person who occupies the White House reveals Israeli top secret information to the Russians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, huh? Well, that doesn't sound too smart, but, you know, we are in 2019. There's not a lot of smart stuff going around.
Okay, so the other question is here, if not Roswell, and I don't disagree with you that possibly some kind of test was involved. Just parenthetically, Kevin Randall looked at the logs too and couldn't find any connection with the Mogul balloon, whatever it might have been.
The whole idea that they would keep this secret from us, you know, it doesn't make sense. Why would you keep the greatest secret, you know, of all human history? Why would you keep that from mankind, humankind? You know, what's your end game there? If we had any kind of out of this world technology, we're the United States of America. The business of the U.S. is business. Okay, we would be capitalizing on it. We'd be selling it around the world. To keep it secret makes, you know, it makes no sense.
Well, we'd like to think so, but then there's people say, well, there, what about the economic factor? Like, if you get into looking at sort of this issue with electric cars and Tesla, right, and the evolution of the lithium ion battery, yep, and people, you'll find examples where the big oil has actually taken and bought up patents for certain things and then shelved them so that it, sure, wouldn't interfere with their business.
Sure. Right. But do you think that Elon Musk, for instance, or these cats who own Google or Amazon, these guys who have just like multi-billion dollars, you don't think that they, if they had a chance, and these are the people we're talking about who are supposedly in the intelligentsia, you don't think that they would want to, you know, capitalize on this type of stuff? I mean, that's what our whole economy is made of these days. It's the cell phones and, you know, and how to talk to people and listen to stuff and watch stuff. You know, I mean, man, if you had an anti-grav device or something like that, come on.
I actually agree with you.
Let's do our break here, Randall. We'll continue. More to come. Randall, Gene, Mac, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The U.S. Special Envoy to Ukraine has resigned. Kurt Volker was apparently a vital part of the whistleblower complaint involving Ukraine and President Trump. nearly 300 former foreign policy and national security officials weighed in on the impeachment inquiry. They have signed an open letter supporting the inquiry following President Trump's phone call with the Ukrainian president. A rough transcript of the call shows the president tried to pressure his Ukrainian counterpart to investigate political rival Joe Biden. In Las Vegas, Biden told supporters,
"We have a president who's violated his oath of office, a president who has put at risk our national security, a president who may, and that would be the decision of the Congress to make, may have committed a crime."
This is USA Radio News.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How do you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million-dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Before Randall goes back to talking about, obviously the question is, if we had access to alien technology, where would we be? On the other hand, if E.T. is 500 or 1,000 years or more ahead of us, would it be like handing an iPhone to somebody 1,000 years in the past? Well, it could make sense of it.
Sure. Okay. But, you know, eventually, you know, I've heard that kind of theory before. But first of all, what you're thinking is, what the thinking behind that is that there's like one secret to kind of uncover with whatever this technology is. Okay. But really the way things are put together is, you know, you take a component here, a component here, you put these things together and it makes something. At least that's how we do it on Earth. If they had some kind of a piece of alien technology from 1947 from Roswell, okay, somehow, some way, they would have cracked at least a little bit of the code. Okay. What really bothers me a lot is that people will say stuff like, well, the semiconductor, that's actually alien technology that we reverse engineered. You know, Velcro, stupid stuff like this. Okay. You're actually dissing the people who actually invented this stuff. Never humans are like really smart, you know? And to say that, you know, this is really alien stuff and there's this big conspiracy. No one wants you to know about it, but, you know, here, buy some Velcro, you know. On the same thing, what really gets me mad is that people who go out there saying that the Nazis had help from aliens and that the Nazis had flying saucers and bases in Antarctica and bases on the moon and all this stuff. What I say is, if they had all this help, why did they lose the war? You know, why are they building jet fighters in 1943 that they can't, they don't have the steel to make the cockpit? So the cockpit of the first jet fighter, ME-262, was made out of plywood. Okay, that is not someone who is having alien assistance, extraterrestrial assistance. And you're dissing the people. Well, we've had people on our show who have written books about, you know, the raid on Schweinfurt, where like 60 of our bombers, you know, were shot down. That's 600 guys, you know, dead or, you know, captured. And he was claiming that, you know, Nazi UFOs shot these things down. All right. And that's nonsense. It's just nonsense. And it's also, you know, dissing our airmen who died that day. And I suppose the Germans too, you know.
Well, I cannot
inject that kind of nonsense into history.
I totally empathize with what you're saying there. Completely. But what it is also, if you look at it, sort of step outside the ketchup bottle, though, and you look at all these mythologies, and it still makes for some pretty interesting cultural study about the subject matter itself and how all these things come together and make people behave and think certain things. So we don't have to necessarily believe in any particular paradigm. That doesn't mean that some of that stuff isn't still interesting to look at.
Yeah, but what bothers me, not to interrupt you, but what bothers me is that I think a lot of the agenda of a lot of people who want to insist that the Nazis had alien help and so on and so forth, I think that's just another way of you keeping this like kind of idea of the Nazis alive. Okay. We don't need that. Civilization does not need the Nazi point of view in it. When we took care of that in 45, where we just, you know, and what we had to do is we had to basically level all of Germany. Okay. You don't want to go back down that path again. You just don't. And I think that people just, you know, they get excited about the Nazis for some stupid reason. The Nazis were insane. You know, they're a bunch of zealot maniacs and they got their just desserts after, you know, killing 100 million people.
And the other thing is too. If Nazi scientist refugees who escaped Argentina or whatever, if they had developed this technology in 1950 or 1947, where is it today? Wouldn't they have 70 more years to develop that technology? Where is it? Where's the evidence of it?
And the real historic fact is that, you know, we captured a bunch of German scientists and the Russians captured a bunch of German scientists. It's called Operation Paperclip. And we let a lot of Nazi scientists into the United States after World War II, and they were the basis of NASA. Nazi scientists got America on the moon. That's a historical fact. Okay, Wernher von Braun was one of Hitler's scientists, and you know, we liberated him. He came over. He's about 80 different German scientists. They're the people who put us on the moon because we chose to forget, you know, what they were involved with, you know, before 1945. That's a historical fact. OK, the fact that, you know, the Nazis, you know, were getting help from, you know, some planet 44 light years from Earth. Come on, it's nonsense. And
they were getting help to build rockets. Like, here we are back again to the whole idea of internal combustion being a propulsion source.
Right.
And whatever UFOs, and by UFO, I mean alien craft, whatever those are operating on, it's not some kind of internal combustion engine.
Right. Right. So why would they do that? You know, even a jet engine. I mean, jet engines were, you know, invented by human beings. You know, and that was the top technology of 1945. If they're getting alien help, if they have a base on the moon, if they have a base, you know, in Antarctica, as you say, what are you flying around in these contraptions for?
Yeah, exactly. And today, I think we, as you suggest, and I think that makes perfect sense, we wouldn't be spending billions of dollars on F-35's developments. Right. You know, we would have this stuff in use and ready to go. And here's the other point that I just love to make, too. A lot of inventions, like the kind that you're talking about, they weren't necessarily invented by the people because they were intentionally trying to invent them. They just stumbled across them while they were working on it and then developed it. And I like to think that if this technology was possible, that it wouldn't take all that long. It wouldn't take from 1947 till now for somebody else who isn't bound by any of those rules to have come up with it. Who knows? Come up with it in their garage or in China or someplace else. Right. And it would be all over the place. We just couldn't stop it.
There's a lot of history of parallel inventions, you know, like some guy in the United States, some guy in England, and some guy in Russia invented the television at the same time. Some guy in the United States who worked for General Electric and a British engineer named Frank Whittle, they basically, you know, came up with the jet engine at the same time. But the thing is these things aren't just popping into their head. They know, you know, well, maybe there was a propeller that almost went as fast as a jet engine. How can I change the propeller? How, you know, that kind of stuff. Especially technological things, they just don't come to you, you know, out of the blue. Songs do, stories do, books do, but not technology.
Well, some of it does. I mean, we, you know, Chris liked to tell us about how in Silicon Valley and some of the people that were working there, they were into some cultural experimentation with entheogens and so on, and they would have some of flashes of insight that would help them to develop. Yeah, so I mean,
but that whatever the product they developed had to be built from stuff that had already been developed, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I'm making too much sense, maybe.
Well, yeah, I think we're on the same page, and I think it is also a really interesting subject because no matter how we boil all of that down, we still know that they, even if they can't build them themselves, have to know a whole lot more about what is really going on than we do, because they've got satellites that are out beyond the moon that can look back at the moon, and who knows what else out there, not to mention all the rest of the military with their tracking equipment. Mm-hmm. I mean, this whole advanced aerospace threat identification program is just like a little tip of the iceberg of the kind of capability they have.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, but the same token, the most secret base in the United States is, you know, obviously not Area 51. It's a place called Tonopah. It's about 90 miles north of Area 51. It's near Reno. It's actually between Reno and Las Vegas. It's a little town up in the mountains. It used to be a silver mining place. And then after World War II, they built this huge air base out in the desert there. And this is where the stealth fighter was flown and tested for 11 years, and no one said a word about it.
We have these words to say, and then we'll be back with Mac, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines, and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount, and then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product, and one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Hello. Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Jacques Vallée, you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Throwing this out, Mac Maloney and J. Randall Murphy, very quickly. I kind of think here, when we talk about possible crash UFOs, if UFOs represent an advanced civilization from other planets visiting us, if they had a crash, if that happened, I would hope that they would be more resilient to such things, even if they're built by the lowest bidder on Zeta Reticuli. Whatever it is, they would cover it up. They'd prevent us from getting that crash UFO. It would be gone.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. You know, if they're smart enough, or if they're so highly advanced that they're flying around in these things that, you know, people say that UFOs have the capability of flying, I don't think that they, I think that they would have, as you say, you know, contingency plans in case one of them crashed.
Well, you'd like to think so anyway. But who really knows? Because we don't really know. We can't really say for sure exactly what their situation is. Mm-hmm. We're not even sure where they come from.
Right.
I think it probably the most reasonable explanation, given all, you know, all the stuff that we've been talking about, is that they come from some other star system. So they're interstellar, because there just isn't any evidence in our planet or in our solar system that there's any other civilization capable of producing that kind of technology.
I think that there's just good a chance that they're from a different time. You know, in UFOs in wartime, one of the things that, you know, we kept coming back to is, for instance, the Foo Fighters, you know, which were what they called UFOs during World War II, seen by a lot of British bomber crews and American bomber crews. You know, we go extensively into this, in, you know, in the book. But they always seem to be, there's no evidence at all of any kind of aggression between Foo Fighters and, you know, let's say our airplanes. They're always there kind of watching, observing. And I don't know, I'm not the first one to come up with this idea, but I thought maybe they're time tourists. You know what I mean? Maybe they're from a time, a million years in our future, or 1,000 years in our future, and they're coming back to see history being made. You know, I mean, who wouldn't want to see, you know what I mean? But that
there's
also
some problems means, with that.
I know there is. Like someone says, like, well, who would you like? I actually, you know, mentioned this to someone once, and she said, well, I'd like to go back and see a Shakespeare play. Well, then how come there aren't 2 billion people, you know, at the opening of a Shakespeare play or at the crucifixion or something like that, you know? But you know, how do we know? You know, maybe they're able to. Who knows? You know, I mean, we can speculate forever. But the fact that everyone thinks they're little green men from Mars, you know, because that's basically what how the whole flying saucer thing kind of caught on. That they're, you know, literally from Mars or something. It's probably something that is just like so much more complex and complicated that, you know, we even can't understand it.
Well, my whole thing is my favorite one. Although I have to say, okay, Interstellar is probably the most likely because we know that there's this universe. We know there are other star systems and we know there are other planets around other star systems. But there is this theory that this isn't the only universe. Now, when we get talking about time travel, we need to take into account the possibility that if there are other universes, they could be very parallel to ours, but more or less evolved. And from the point of view of a traveler that can go between universes, it would seem like time travel to go from one that is more advanced than ours to ours. And then that gets rid of a lot of the problems with thinking that we have a unified universe where mm-hmm. time is continuous in all directions and you can somehow pop back and forth in it. That just doesn't work out logically, but a right. multiverse theory does. And it can provide the same kind of an experience. And I really like the idea because it explains a lot, as well as a lot of sort of just regular paranormal phenomena. And we should talk about that mm-hmm. because you are also into hauntings and wrote a book called Haunted Universe. What's that about?
Mm-hmm. Well, what that is it's a collection of like really, really strange stories that I had, that I collected doing research for other projects, to tell you the truth. I worked for Ted Turner for a while. He had a website called Conspiratorium. And we used to come up with like 10 really weird stories every month and do stories about them and also, have visuals, have images, and we'd write the captions for them and stuff. So I had a lot of this kind of research hanging around. And then, as I mentioned before, you know, we have our own radio show, Mac Maloney's Military X-Files show, not to, you know, mention the competition. But
no, actually, hang on there. Say that again. Mac Maloney's
Military X-Files show.
Military X-Files show.
Military X-Files, yeah.
Which is part of our competition.
Sorry.
That we want people to go and check out, too, because we love our guests. And part of having you on is to say, hey, you know, go check out Mac Maloney's show, too.
Thanks.
You
know? I appreciate that.
Some people our way. And you know, this whole territorialization in ufology, it just drives me nuts. I would much rather see it be more like one big happy family where, hey, right. we can send you some people, you can send some people our way, and we'll all have, like, a good time. But anyway, going on with this, sorry to interrupt there.
The UFO family, the UFO community will never be one big happy family. Believe me. We talk about
big happy dysfunctional family.
Right. I mean, and see, and again, not to switch subjects, but see, I think that too is something that, you know, who knows? The seeds of that might have been planted by the disinformation people in the 50s and 60s, okay? Where there's this, you know, paradrama going on all the time. When I first started going on the radio and doing interviews for UFOs at one time, you know, it was like, you know, he didn't want to talk to him and she didn't want to talk to her and don't be on his show. And it was like, wow, man, I just came out of this out of the blue. I had no idea that there was this kind of big soap opera going on. I think that people should really, really stop all that. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Concentrate, you know, on these sightings we were talking about before that are unexplainable. But anyway, going back to Haunted Universe. So we had a lot of, you know, this kind of research hanging around, and I had a chance with this, with a publisher to put it together. And, so we did. And really, to tell you the truth, it was really supposed to be like a promotional vehicle for the radio show. But, you know, this publisher picked it up and it turned out to be a bestseller. So, you know, sometimes you don't, when you don't know what you're doing, it's kind of like the best thing.
Well, nice. That's cool.
Yeah.
So what we've got here, I'm guessing just by the title that we're dealing with people who feel that they've come into contact with what we would traditionally call some kind of a ghost or, you know, the spirits of the who have gone into some afterlife, something along those lines.
The whole idea was that I had had this thought, you know, a long time ago, is that, you know, we're talking about the parallel universes, right? And, you know, in our universe, let's say, our reality, you know, strange stuff, you know, really happens all the time. People like think UFOs hide from us. They don't. You know, there's 1,000 UFO reports around the world every month. Okay, 10% of them cannot be, you know, identified. That's how we start our show off with. You know, traditionally, historically, people have seen ghosts. People have seen the Loch Ness Monster. People see Bigfoot. People see ghouls and gremlins and all this kind of stuff. And we kind of take it as, okay, this is just the way things are. But my idea was that, well, maybe we live in the haunted universe. Maybe in all the other universes, everything goes just swimmingly well. There's none of this stuff. Maybe we're the ones in the weird universe. So, you know, once again, it's a collection of about 350 stories, everything from, you know, every state has, you know, its own kind of monster and, you know, and really good, like, ghost stories and, like, bumbling spies and stuff like that. Just all this kind of odd stuff that I had hanging around in my office. And we put it together in Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe.
Oh, I like the sound of it.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it.
What is, say, one of your favorite stories? Oh, Leslie, I think we might have to get into that coming up after the break. But after the break, let's just talk about a couple of cases if we can.
Sure.
By the way, I want to remind everybody we have a second radio show called After the Paracast, only available if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. Then you get a version of the show free of the network ads. You can find more information if you go to plus.theparacast.com. And by the way, I want to remind you that each and every week now we've had William Puckett, crack UFO investigator, atmospheric scientist, and he assembles two or three cases for us. New cases, old cases, he evaluates them. In fact, recently, there were sightings near my area, and I wasn't too far away from the location of a possible UFO sighting. William was able to read the radar for that period to see if anything strange occurred. Anyway, that's on After the Paracast every week, special segment. We also feature on After the Paracast extended interviews, general chit-chat. In fact, this week, Mac Maloney will be back on After the Paracast with more fascinating things to talk about. More information on the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. More to come with Mac, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-613-2646. That's 1-800-613-2646. 1-800-613-2646.